Now, the one who protects us all from prattling prognosticators and perfidious pundits.
I say, America, stay out the bushes.
Look for the union label.
And to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government.
From my cold, dead hands.
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
It's time for the Alan Nathan Show. Here he is, the longest-running nationally syndicated centrist host in the country, Alan Nathan.
Welcome aboard, everybody. Welcome aboard. I'm ever yours, Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Thank you so much for joining us. If this is your virgin voyage, allow me to share with you our mantra. Folks, we want the Republicans out of our bedroom, the Democrats out of our wallets, and both out of our First and Second Amendment rights. We feel there exists this cavernous gap separating the two orthodoxies, and that it's a gap comprised of many degreed-thinking people who can argue quite passionately in shades of gray. And to that end, each and every show, we have fine guests to help best illustrate this point. Today is no exception. Also, if you wish to hook up with us on the web, it's www.alannathan.com. Don't forget that email address, alan@alannathan.com. That's A-L-A-N. Coming at you live and strong each and every Monday through Friday at this time. Don't forget the classic Alan Nathan Show, Saturdays, 6 to 7 p.m., and overnight Sunday mornings, 3 to 4, all times Eastern. We are indeed a Main Street Radio Network production. Please check us out at mainstreetradionetwork.com. Feel free to avail yourselves of our nascent but always robust Twitter and Facebook options that we have there for you. And, of course, with great dispatch and alacrity, we'd love to thank our distributor, the Salem Radio Network. That's right. The Alan Nathan Show is now entering its 28th year of national syndication, all thanks to you. Again, reaching about 800 towns and cities across a couple of hundred radio station broadcasts each week. Again, all thanks to you. And by the way, I don't care if you're part of the authoritarian left or perpetually clueless right. Please get out of the thought control business. Also, very quick shout out. Thank you to the podcast networks picking us up, whether it's Listen Notes, Amazon Music, Amazon Music UK, Amazon Music Italy, Indie, also Spotify and Apple. Thank you all. Without further ado, let's get into these topics du jour, as you may have already heard about. DNI Tulsi Gabbard criminally refers the Obama administration to the DOJ for having, quote-unquote, manufactured and politicized intelligence. Why? To conjure narratives that Russia influenced the 2016 presidential election with Trump's knowledge. So what punishment befits this attempted coup? Also, the increasingly loud anti-Trump ravings of the decreasingly heard Stephen Colbert harshly expose his deafening irrelevancy. So you got to wonder, when does he begin to listen to that reality? Also, while climate change alarmists still resist nuclear power, despite its zero emissions and abundant supply, some Democrats are finally coming around. But why the conflict anyway? Without further ado, we have assisting in the opining and analyzing old friend of the show, Keith Gross, Republican senatorial candidate in Florida. He's also an entrepreneur, a pilot, an attorney, a former state prosecutor, and a member of the National Guard. He's also a conservative activist. His latest book is the highly praised work entitled Dirt Roads to Runways, Defending the American Dream for the Next Generation. Keith, good to have you back. How are you today?
Doing great. Thanks so much for having me.
No, a pleasure, a pleasure. I want to dive into some of these topics du jour, if you will, because, you know, this long suspected conspiracy has become really a conspiracy exposed via what I believe to be irrefutable documentation. I'm talking about those which have just been released by the Director of National Intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard. Her criminal referral to the DOJ reports that apparently the Obama administration provably, quote unquote, manufactured and politicized intelligence. And they did it to conjure narratives that Russia influenced the 2016 presidential election, again, with Trump's knowledge, despite, please understand, this is despite the intelligence community originally telling Obama the direct opposite in his own president's daily briefing. But apparently Obama wanted it to be true, so he ordered components of the intelligence community to create intelligence reports that would appear to back up the Democrats' preferred propaganda. This all sounds like it's out of a Robert Ludlum novel, does it not? I ask you.
Oh, yeah. It's some of the most corrupt and scandalous things that I have ever heard of. I think it's one of the biggest scandals in our nation's history that we had a sitting president weaponizing the United States intelligence apparatus to go after the person who was front runners in the polls about to become the next president of the United States. I mean, they spied on then candidate Trump and ended up undermining his entire first term with all of this fake information. And President Trump and his DOJ at the time and the DNI at the time, you know, remember, it was headed by Rick Grenell and Kash Patel towards the end of President Trump's first term. And they started digging into this, as we learned, was called Crossfire Hurricane. And President Trump, you know, worked to declassify that information.
Sure.
And the deep state slowed it down. And, you know, a lot of folks, including myself, believe those are probably the documents that the Biden administration were going after when they performed that unprecedented raid on President Trump's residence at Mar-a-Lago.
In your estimation, how does this scandal rank compared to others? I mean, they do seem to, or the others seem to fade in comparison. I mean, how much more serious are these, if you will, coup d'etat charges compared to what normally constitutes a universally acknowledged scandal? How do you see this?
Well, I think this is, you know, one of the largest scandals in our nation's history, perhaps rivaled only by the recent coup we saw under the Biden administration, where we had unknown staffers running our country secretly via AutoPen while we had a president that didn't even know what was happening. So in both cases, you know, the American people were deprived of a fair government by and for the people because our government was basically overtaken through criminal enterprise.
It seems as if we're looking at a time when the deep state can no longer be denied as existing. I mean, every time you ever bring it up, the left like to laugh at that. Oh, there's no such thing as the deep state. But all we're really talking about is the administrative state that's been politicized. And we know that this really can't be denied because these things have been reported on by the Democrats' normally favorite news outlets. We're talking about the Washington Post, Bloomberg, The Hill, Politico. I'm looking at a headline here from January 2017, Washington Post. Here's the headline. Resistance from within. Federal workers push back against Trump. Here's an excerpt. Less than 2 weeks into Trump's administration, this is for his first term, less than 2 weeks into Trump's administration, federal workers are in regular consultation with recently departed Obama-era political appointees about what they can do to push back against the new president's initiatives. Bloomberg News. Washington bureaucrats are quietly working to undermine Trump's agenda. The Hill. Trump White House clashes with resident civil servants. Here's Politico. Federal workers turn to encryption to thwart Trump. I'm sorry, but unelected government workers don't get to illegally supplant the electorate's agenda with their own. And, oh, by the way, even those who are elected officials, they don't get to use government assets to undermine their political opponents on the campaign trail. And all of this seems to constitute, the foundation for coup d'etat. I mean, this seems to be rising to the level of the very word treason that's been applied by DNI Gabbard. Where am I mistaken?
No, I think it's 100% true. I mean, we're seeing a breakdown of trust, the misuse of government. And as you were pointing out, all these executive branch employees who are working to undermine their boss, the executive, you know, that's why we need to make sure that we put back into place the full power vested in the executive by Article 2 of our Constitution. The president should be able to fire any and all staffers in the executive branch. But for a while, they've entrenched themselves in and they've dug in deeper, protecting themselves with, you know, merit review board and unions and all of these ridiculous procedures that our founding fathers did not expect to happen. They expected that the executive gets replaced by election and that the executive can replace any staff necessary.
According to Gabbard, according to DNI Gabbard, there is a preponderance of evidence illustrating the Obama administration manufactured evidence against Trump. Now, apparently the alleged perpetrators, well, first Obama himself, then former National Intelligence Director James Clapper, former CIA Director John Brennan, and then former National Security Advisor Susan Rice. Also, let's not forget, former FBI Director James Comey. Now, if Gabbard really has the goods on all these folks, Attorney General Pam Bondi will doggedly pursue them. Would you not agree?
Absolutely. I mean, we're seeing them start to pursue all sorts of things that lay dormant for too long. Already, we're seeing people take the Fifth Amendment when they're being investigated about the AutoPen scandal. So this DOJ is going to get to business.
And even if the DOJ does not nail them for treason, despite having attempted a coup, Attorney General Bondi would seem to have them solidly for their fraudulent use of federal law enforcement assets. Isn't that at least the case?
Oh, yeah, and that comes with a hefty prison term. If we don't see accountability, we're going to see this misconduct happen again. People need to go to jail.
Keith, if you can, hang on the line for just a moment, folks. You're listening to The Alan Nathan Show right here on the Main Street Radio Network. Going to be right back.
Power demand and load growth is not a future problem. It's happening today. And that's coming from a number of sources, including AI and data centers, reshoring and manufacturing, as well as electrification of the economy. That means we're going to need all the resources we can possibly gather in order to power the system today and going forward. That will include dispatchable resources like nuclear, natural gas, and even the existing coal fleet used in tandem with resources like wind, solar, and battery storage that are energy resources that need supplements from the dispatchable resources. In addition, it's important that policymakers shrink the delta between aspirational policy goals and operational realities of the electric system. In doing so, we can mitigate costs and empower the market to deliver least cost solutions for consumers. If you want more information about these issues and more issues involving energy, go to EPSA.org.
Self-care isn't just candles and bubble baths anymore. It's smart techie tools that actually help you feel better. And I've got five Renfo picks that are all on sale for Prime Day. First, the mini thermal massage gun, compact, powerful, and the head heats up to 114 degrees Fahrenheit to melt away muscle tension and soreness anywhere on the go. For tired eyes, the Iris 1 and the Iris 3 eye massagers use heat, compression, and Bluetooth music. The Iris 3 even has voice control and a cooling gel mask to fight screen fatigue and puffiness. Then there's the smart tape measure. It connects to your phone and tracks 18 body measurements, so you can actually see your progress over time. And last but not least, the new Renfo Shiatsu foot massager. Total 360-degree compression, deep kneading, soothing heat, and it's even FSA, HSA eligible. They're all discounted right now for Prime Day on Amazon, so grab them before they're gone. Search Renfo on Amazon to snag deals nearly 50% off.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at PVA.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Every year is Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Once again, this is the Oasis for those who have an aversion to the left, right, black, white, two-dimensional approach. Well, Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard has criminally referred most of the Obama administration to the Department of Justice. Why? For having, quote-unquote, manufactured and politicized intelligence in order to conjure narratives that Russia influenced the 2016 presidential election with Trump's knowledge. This is despite the fact that you can find in the president's daily briefing people originally telling Obama that this was not the case. But he wasn't happy with that. So he got components of the intelligence community to go ahead and write up assertions to be used as grounds upon which they could subsequently predicate their charge against Trump as somehow being in cahoots with Vladimir Putin to get the 2016 election to go his way. Oh, he's really a Russian spy. And, of course, they did that to help marginalize any chance he might have had for reelection. So, basically, you've got leaders of the free world using government assets, our taxpayer dollars, to undermine their political opponents. Nice work if you can get it, right? We have assisting in the opining and analyzing, old friend of the show, Keith Gross, Republican senatorial candidate in Florida. He's an entrepreneur, a pilot, an attorney, a former state prosecutor, also a member of the National Guard, conservative activist as well. His latest book is the highly praised work entitled Dirt Roads to Runways, Defending the American Dream for the Next Generation. Keith, appreciate you sticking around. Thanks so much.
Yeah, happy to be here.
Before we get any further, let's go ahead and have a listen to one of the defendants in this whole menagerie of developments. Again, DNI Gabbard is pointing to a number of people who have something to worry about, not just people like James Clapper, former DNI himself, not just Barack Obama, but also folks like James Comey, former FBI director, as well as the former CIA director, John Brennan. This is what he had to say about these latest revelations from Gabbard while he was on MSNBC's Deadline White House with Nicole Wallace. Clip 4, James, if you please.
It is unsurprising, yet very troubling and very dangerous, as General Hunt said, that the person who leads our intelligence community today would put out something like this that just mischaracterizes and misrepresents in a wholesale manner what the intelligence community did during the 2016 run-up to the presidential election. Again, the misrepresentations just are ludicrous. You know, when I read through the material, it reminded me of, you know, sort of a third-rate lawyer who realizes she got nothing to defend her client and is going to put together an absurd brief that's laughable on its face, because anybody who looks at the intelligence community assessment and the work that was done will see that it was very carefully worded, meticulously done, and it stands up to scrutiny in time.
Stands up to scrutiny in time. I'm hearing a whole lot of assertions, but they're not tethered to their required validating grounds. Just a lot of assertions, a lot of presuppositions. I mean, the bottom line is we know from 2021 testimony, or was it 2022? I can look it up. James Clapper acknowledged to Congress directly that there was no empirical evidence ever linking Trump to the Russians. Yet, this gentleman, John Brennan, former CIA director, repeatedly fanned the flames of accusation against Trump, despite what his former boss once said to the opposite. Of course, he's also not out of the woods because he straddled the fence. When he wasn't busy trying to imply that Trump was in cahoots with the Russians, he was then acknowledging that he was not. But all that notwithstanding, it seems to me that there's a lot more going against these guys than going for them when it comes to who's going to win the debate on culpability. Or am I being overly sanguine about this, sir?
No, I think it's really frustrating anytime we have government officials who are paid by the taxpayers who come out and intentionally mislead the taxpayers with false information. That should be grounds for imprisoning them. You know, that's theft of service.
And it strikes me that this is really, I don't see them getting away with this one. Maybe I'm being too much of a romantic, but even if the DOJ doesn't nail them for treason, despite having attempted this coup, as I mentioned earlier, Bondi is going to have them solidly for fraudulent use of federal law enforcement. And we got to remember something, too. Remember when then Trump campaign advisor Carter Page was wrongly subpoenaed multiple times because he was meritlessly accused of having, quote-unquote, Russian links, after which, of course, the FISA court reversed all subpoenas against him. Why? Because it was discovered that then FBI attorney Kevin Kleinsmith had doctored the documents upon which those subpoenas had been predicated. Yeah, it turns out Page did contact Russian bureaucrats, but only because the CIA had asked him to do so. He was doing this at the behest of the CIA, not the Trump campaign. And what happened is Kleinsmith removed those facts from the FISA warrant application. Why? Because he knew that those facts would have prevented any kind of approval for those warrant applications. Now, while Kleinsmith enjoys the protection of jeopardy, because he already went through the plea bargain and acknowledged what he did, the same cannot be said for others attached to those same lawless acts. Would you not agree?
I would. I mean, we're in a situation where the people are paying for the honest services, and we're not seeing honest services from these officials. We're seeing them manipulate the facts and in some case create false so-called facts to support their narrative. They're more interested in getting their outcome and retaining power than doing the right thing for the American people. I mean, the Bondi DOJ needs to put people in jail. We need to make sure there's accountability because the American people have had enough of this.
Who do you see walking the plank first?
You know, it's really hard to tell at this stage of an investigation. As much as we all think, well, this is common sense, we see what happened, the reality is when you're preparing a complex prosecution like this, it takes a long time of gathering facts and documents and interviewing witnesses and crossing T's and dotting I's. It's boring, it's long, and it might be, you know, a year or more before we see any real action on this front. So I know that they're working in the background because we see little bits of it hitting the news, but I don't think we're going to really see anyone walk the plank for a long time.
I don't know. This is one of those times where I think it's just too much. It's just too much. When you have this level of evidence, this preponderance of evidence, of people having been caught red-handed trying to commit a coup, using tax dollars to make it happen, then all of a sudden the American people realize, wait a minute, we were just potentially placed under siege. And don't forget, we do have this past testimony of James Clapper. And I was wrong about the year. It was actually 2018. He said that he hadn't seen any evidence that the Trump presidential campaign colluded with Russia. Here's what he exactly said. His testimony, quote, former DNI, James Clapper, he said, quote, I never saw any direct empirical evidence that the Trump campaign or someone in it was plotting or conspiring with the Russians to meddle with the election. That's what he said. Now, I'm sorry, but when you acknowledge that you do not have that which was necessary for you to be taken seriously when throwing accusations before that point, clearly a disconnect has been exposed, and I think that kind of testimony is going to haunt them throughout this entire process. What say you, sir?
I think you're absolutely right. This sort of testimony will be key exhibits in what I hope will be a trial because, like I said, these people have to be held accountable. We know what they did. They know what they did. Now it's time to bring the case.
Final word. Stick with us.
Summer can be a nonstop sprint for busy families. Between camps, road trips, and backyard barbecues, meals and snacks need to be quick, convenient, and kid-friendly. Lifestyle expert Yvette Rios has tips from the dairy aisle.
June is National Dairy Month, and dairy is a summertime lifesaver. So whether it's string cheese in a cooler, yogurt cups on the go, or even cottage cheese, these grab-and-go staples fuel kids without slowing parents down. Refrigerated doughs are another smart pick.
According to new research from the National Frozen and Refrigerated Foods Association, 77% of parents turn to dairy for convenient, kid-friendly summer solutions.
There are so many simple ways to build out a meal with dairy. Pasta salads with shredded cheese, veggie trays with ranch or sour cream dips, cottage cheese bowls topped with fruit and eggs, eggs for easy breakfast or protein-packed snacks.
To get more meal ideas and snack inspiration, visit EasyHomeMeals.com. That's EasyHomeMeals.com.
It's a well-known fact that guys often skip the doctor when they're sick and delay important health screenings. During Men's Health Month in June, encourage the men in your life to break that bad habit and take charge of their health. Vince Dorsey, a pharmacist and director of medical communications at Esperion Therapeutics, says a great way to start is with a cholesterol test.
The best defense is a good offense. High cholesterol has no symptoms. That's why it's called the silent killer. Don't put it off. Get your cholesterol tested and know your family's health history. You may not realize it, but high cholesterol can be an inherited genetic condition, putting otherwise healthy people, even in their 20s, at risk for heart disease. If you have high LDL or bad cholesterol, it is best to address this as soon as possible. There are ways to lower these levels, reducing your risk of heart attack or stroke.
If you or someone you love has high LDL cholesterol, your doctor may recommend lifestyle changes and medication to keep it in check. Visit heart.org to learn more.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
The forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon?
Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, don't tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp.
I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and ADD.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Every year is Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Once again, this is the Oasis for those who have an aversion to the left, right, black, white, two-dimensional approach. Absolutely delighted you could be with us. I want to get into also in a little bit about the dilemma that Democrats find themselves in when it comes to alternative energy. They've been so big on renewables, but of course that's all about needing sunshine and wind, and the sun doesn't always shine and the wind doesn't always blow. So solar and wind energy just doesn't seem to be something upon which we can ever rely when it comes to surge supply needs. when you have energy surge supply needs, forget about it. Fossil fuels are clearly in greater abundance. But all that notwithstanding, if you want to go with something that has zero emissions, why not go with nuclear? But they're against it. Why? Because the truth is, they're not really about any kind of green energy as much as they're about trying to have an excuse to destroy capitalism. Oh, in the name of helping the planet, let's just get rid of capitalism. That's basically their goal. And, of course, capitalism you need because, let's face it, capitalism is the little guy's best weapon against both an authoritarian government as well as vulture capitalists. You know, not all billionaires are like this, but you got a cadre of billionaires who don't want to have any future competitors. And the best way to keep that, the best way to ensure no future competition is to minimize the efficacy of conventional capitalism for others. Because if you're a billionaire, you can soon figure out how to become if you're a millionaire, you can eventually figure out how to be a billionaire. They don't want the competition. So they're often in league with socialists to try to keep that vehicle of self-reliance as diminished as possible for the people. Socialists get to have power out of the bargain. Vulture capitalists get to maintain the exclusivity of their fiefdoms more easily. This is why people are out against capitalism. Don't kid yourself. Capitalism is the little guy's best weapon against both authoritarian government and the vulture capitalists. Capitalism is nothing but the creating, selling, and buying of goods and services for the purposes of providing for wants and needs. I do something well and it resonates with the market. I'm self-sufficient. If I do it so well or my product is so popular that I can't keep up with the demand, well, then I got to go get help, which manifests into expanded employment, allowing there to be that many more people making that many more dollars, paying that many more tax revenue dollars in the treasury to help support all these social safety programs we want. You need capitalism if you're going to create wealth in a community, a city, a state, or any country. You need to have market resonance or you're not expanding wealth. And without wealth, socialism falls apart. The only kind of socialism that ever survives is the one that takes a back seat to the capitalism off of whom it wishes to parasitize. Don't kid yourself. Anyway, I didn't mean to get lost in all that. We have assisting in the opining and analyzing none other than Leslie Corbley, old friend of the show, author, poet, columnist, and attorney. She was previously a visiting fellow with the American Institute for Economic Research and a policy analyst at the Libertas Institute. Her latest book is the highly praised work entitled Progressive Prejudice, Exposing the Devouring Mother. She's here to chat with us about someone getting his long overdue comeuppance, one Adam Schiff. Could he possibly be going to jail for mortgage fraud? Leslie, thanks so much for joining. How are you today?
Thanks so much for having me. I'm doing great.
Good to have you. Well, Adam Schiff does seem to be in a bit of Schiff himself, and it seems as if he's going to have a hard time explaining his way out of it. Apparently, Federal Housing Finance Agency Director William Pulte made a formal complaint to the Department of Justice about Schiff, the California senator, alleging mortgage fraud. He had FHFA Director Pulte specifically claiming that, quote, based on media reports, Mr. Adam B. Schiff has, in multiple instances, falsified bank documents and property records to acquire more favorable loan terms, impacting payments from 2003 to 2019 for a Potomac, Maryland-based property. What happened is he claimed that to be his primary residence when it really wasn't, and he knowingly communicated falsehoods on government documentation. This involves Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. This is very much a federal issue. He could wind up going to jail, yes?
I mean, sure, fraud is illegal. Certainly, I think, you know, others could go to jail for the kind of conduct that that he's engaged in. I think this really exposes something deeply broken about the system we're currently living in. I mean, I think this has been ongoing. This kind of cynicism has been building in the public for a long time, really since 2008, exposed some of the corruption and financial problems within our country. But yes, I mean, the whole idea being the reason people would think, frankly, it would be shocking for someone like him to go to jail is because of his position rather than because of the conduct he engaged in, right? I mean, someone who doesn't have his name and political power would would be in quite a different standing as far as whether they'd be likely to be punished for that.
Yeah,
kind
but
of
also
behavior.
because of his standing, that many more people know about his wrongdoing that would be the case for the
yes.
average Joe or Jane. So it's a double-edged sword, and he gets to be cut a few times by the inconvenient part of that sword. Now, fast forwarding a bit, Director Pulte received a memo from Fannie Mae Financial Crimes Investigation finding that Senator Schiff had committed, quote unquote, a sustained pattern of possible occupancy misrepresentation on five Fannie Mae loans, five of them. Now, this I think is a big deal. Now, of course, the senator, he asserts that these allegations are all a distraction to keep the public from noticing the failures mm-hmm. of the Trump administration. But how will that defense fly in the face of the treasure trove of documents which illustrate Schiff committing the very crimes for which he's been exposed? I mean, the guy put his John Hancock, if you will, on all these documents, knowingly communicating falsehoods with each time he signed any of them. Or am I reading too much into this?
No, I don't think you are. I think unfortunately, I think the degree to which his defense is seen as valid is going to have a lot more to do with how people perceive politics than it does what he actually did. That's kind of the era I think we're living in, right?
Yeah, but if he's stealing money, if he's stealing the money from the government, which is what he's doing
sure.
by claiming to fall into a tax category he does not, he is denying the government funds it's deserving to have because he's falsely claiming, as a primary residence, that which was provably not. It strikes
sure.
me that at one point or another, the phrase, well, he's so high up, he'll get away with it, I think that falls by the wayside. As a matter of fact, if anything, he might have that much more scrutiny because of his position. Where am I mistaken?
No, you're not. But just to clarify, I was talking about from the public's point of view, whether his defense has any water will likely depend on politics, because I think that's kind of the era we're in. Now, from a legal standpoint, if there's legal acts taken against him, no, that won't matter. The facts, I would hope, certainly in a court of law would end up being what drives whether he's prosecuted. But, you know, as we see, you know, that doesn't always shake out to be the case. But yes, there's a distinction, of course, between the legal significance of what he's done and how those in the public will view it, right, based on maybe their policy or political preferences or their likelihood to think that, oh, this is a distraction, you know, so on and so forth.
Well, the thing is he fraudulently claimed in an affidavit, okay, that his and his wife's Potomac, Maryland home was their primary residence, while also claiming that status for his California house. Now, assuming these records are right. Well, you know, just how big is your wide stance, Mr. Schiff? Look, and assuming these records are accurate, it appears that Schiff would have not only committed mortgage fraud, but election fraud as well, in the sense that he was knowingly communicating mm-hmm. falsehoods to his constituents, giving them the false impression that he was really a resident among them when, in fact, he wasn't. I understand California doesn't have a law requiring you to claim your primary residence to be in the state in which you dwell. But if you're out there on the campaign trail essentially communicating that is where your primary residence is when it's not, to me that would seem to be election fraud, only because, not that he merely said it, because these guys are always lying with what they say, but he put pen to paper as something to which he could point on the campaign trail.
Mm-hmm.
See, here's documentation showing that this really is my primary. I mean, come on, at one point or another, you've got to be held accountable for the very laws you require everybody else to follow. I mean, it strikes mm-hmm. me odd that these guys get to disconnect themselves from the very body of laws they require the rest of us to follow. Where am I off the mark?
No, you're not. You're not off the mark at all. I mean, frankly, I'm not convinced that it's really even remotely clear where, in fact, his primary residence was, right? Because he's claiming it's two different places for two different reasons, right? So he's trying to game the system. Okay, well, I want it to be Maryland for this mortgage purpose, but for this other purpose, I really like it to be California, and he has residences in both. So I guess I'll just, you know, kind of, it changes based on what's convenient. This is, though, I think this is a highlight. It's a prime example of one of the reasons that Donald Trump has been so popular and his message has resonated so much with the public, is because this kind of hypocrisy in leftist circles where they, you know, they preach a lot about the danger of privilege, and yet they exercise it all the time, has really sullied with the public. And the public doesn't like it anymore.
It's the albatross, the rhetorical albatross that's going to be wrapped around Mr. Schiff's neck will have to be his own words when he was screaming, "Nobody is above the law, except for me." Anyway, Leslie Corbly, thanks so much for joining us. You're listening to The Alan Nathan Show. Going to be right back.
We have an active government relations program. They're very much involved in legislative work to not only improve the ADA, but to strengthen enforcement. The bottom line is a law with no enforcement is no law at all. But it's not just about legislative work. It's really just about public education. We want the general public, we want policymakers, we want business owners to understand that they have a role in knocking down barriers and making the world more accessible. We have an active campaign going on right now. Barriers still exist. If you go to our website, pba.org, you can find information about various types of barriers that are out there through our PSAs. We have a petition that we want to send to the United States Congress that calls for improved enforcement of the ADA. And ultimately, we just want to get everyone in the game. We want everyone to have a stake in knocking down the barriers that still exist, because we believe in accessibility for all. To learn more, you can go to pva.org/barriersstillexist.
We know summers are packed with activities, and Whataburger's got you covered with big flavor and big value. For a limited time this summer, you can order more for less with our bigger, better bundles. Just order your favorite Whatameal, and you can add on a bonus meal. You can add on a $4 kids Whatameal, a $5 double meat junior Whatameal, or $6 nine-piece Whata wings. Or if you're just feeding the kids, these bundles work for kids meals too. Just order a kids meal, and you can add on another one for just $4. Really is the perfect way to make sure everyone is fed and happy this summer. We've also got Whataburger's brand new Prickly Pear Raspberry Water Fresher. It's a bright, refreshing mix of zesty lemon, real raspberry, and a hint of prickly pear. If you haven't downloaded the app yet, download it now. We are full on into our summer of savings mode, and we've got really special things coming up for our 75th birthday on August 8th. For more information, you can visit Whataburger.com.
National Ice Tea Day is just around the corner, and it's the perfect time to celebrate everyone's favorite summertime beverage. As a tea sommelier, I'm always looking for tea products with high-quality ingredients that are sourced responsibly. When it comes to a bottled tea, my go-to is Tea Java. It's brewed in small batches using quality tea leaves from Java, Indonesia. No sugar, no calories, and no added preservatives. Just a refreshing, authentic tea like I brewed it myself. Tea Java is a must-have this summer. You can learn more at teajava.com.
Dear John, I was hoping it wouldn't come to this, but you've left me no choice. I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is really serious, and lately you seem to really not care. I've been there for you since day one, and I know you think I'm gonna keep ticking, but no, my friend, I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to the good times, when we were more active and ate more healthy foods, and you checked on me every once in a while? Is that too much to ask? I don't want to leave. But unless you stop ignoring me, what else am I supposed to do? Remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart and don't let it quit on you. Doing the minimum to control your high blood pressure isn't doing enough. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. For help keeping yours at a healthy range, text PRESSURE to 97779. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
You know that feeling? Like every door is closing and you just can't see a way out? Being unemployed, underemployed, or just out of school feels a lot like that. But when you find the right tools, suddenly everything just clicks. Getting on that path may be easier than you think. A good place to start? Go to findsomethingnew.org. At findsomethingnew.org, you have access to resources that help develop new skills. Skills that will position you for careers in today's growing industries. From healthcare and manufacturing to cybersecurity and alternative energy. Plus, you can take advantage of online courses, certification programs, apprenticeships, and more. So you can take yourself from unemployed and uncertain to empowered and prepared for what's next. Find your path to a new career today. Visit findsomethingnew.org. A message from the Ad Council.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk.
with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment. This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Every year is Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Once again, this is The Oasis for those who have an aversion to the left, right, black, white, two-dimensional approach. So much into which we're trying to get. So little time to pull it off. Obviously, we're talking about the criminal referral passed on to the Department of Justice by the Director of National Intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, vis-a-vis the Obama administration's culpability in the Trump-Russia collusion hoax. Just some stellar revelations coming out. But before I get back to that, I want to talk a little bit about the One Big Beautiful Bill and the impact that it seems to already be having, because contrary to the Democrats' claim that Trump's tax cuts are only for the rich, well over 80% are going to be enjoying these cuts, along with a ton of other benefits provided by the OBBB. And I want to get into some of the specifics, but without a doubt, there's lots that are benefiting us. For one thing, the tax cuts are permanent, which means now there's a hell of a lot more certainty in the markets than has been the case with tax cuts in the past that would only last about 10 years. Now, Trump has referred to the OBBB as a rocket ship for the nation's economy once it begins to work its magic. And to illustrate this, the White House published what's known as this interactive map of the country, showing what average folks in each of the 50 states will save and witness going into their respective pocketbooks. Mind you, it's a comparison of what would have happened had the law not continued Trump's tax cuts, as well as the fresh impact to be realized by the bill's newer features. But anyway, without further ado, let's go ahead and reintroduce old friend of the show, none other than Paul Auslander, president of Seabridge Private Wealth. He's also the former chairman of the Financial Planning Association. Paul, good to have you on board. How are you today?
I'm good, Alan. Thanks for having me. Good to be with you.
No, great to have you. Great to have you. I had recently Grover Norquist on, head of Americans for Tax Reform, and he's of that same perspective, that one of the things that we can take away from the OBBB is the comparative greater certainty that it brings to the financial markets versus reconciliation packages in the past that would include a centerpiece of tax cuts, but again, would always come with a sunset after a decade. This has no sunset. Therefore, the enhanced stability can only help the markets that much more, and therefore, by default, help the overall economy. What say you on that observation, Paul?
Well, I think you're spot on. I mean, one of the big issues in this tax bill remedied that was many of the tax provision passed in 2017 were temporary. This has made those permanent. If they had not done that, it would have resulted in probably one of the largest tax increases ever in America. So that was important. You're right to identify that. There are, you know, and in your introduction, I'll also comment on this is a pro-business tax bill, but more importantly, it is good for all members of society in America, not only the well-to-do who benefited mightily from this, but the not-so-well-to-do. $10,000 interest on auto loans. Now, that happens to be temporary, by the way. That sunsets in 29 and 30. But the fact is, we haven't been able to deduct interest on auto loans in years. The salt from 10,000 to 40,000 is a big deal. You don't have to be wealthy to live in Nassau County, Long Island, New York, and pay $25,000-$30,000 in property taxes, and along with your state income taxes, is a big number. That benefited people that aren't on the higher spectrum. So in that vein, when Democrats say what you said they said, and you're right about that, they're wrong. I might add, by the way, breaking news today, you know, he said it before, but nobody took him that seriously. President Trump circulated the idea of possibly eliminating capital gains on home sales. If he does that, it will turbocharge the real estate market and will also benefit the very people we're talking about.
Well, that can only be done through a rescission package, right? I mean, he can't just unilaterally do that with the executive order.
Well,
that would be marvelous. Well, I know. Well, yeah, he takes a stab at things anyway, but a lot of the things that he's been told he can't do, he actually can. Separated powers being what they are, we forget that, yes, the judiciary is the final say over the interpretation of law, but it doesn't have the final say when it might itself become a litigant in a battle over separation of powers. Yes, the judiciary gets to have final say over the interpretation of law, but it does not get to have final say over whether or not its branch is in the right when it comes to a tug of war over separation of powers with another branch. I mean, Trump has a legitimate check on the judiciary. I just want to explain to people very quickly. The judiciary is not allowed to enforce its rulings. And born out of that constitutional limitation is the president's prerogative, although he could use it to his peril if he's not careful. But he does have the prerogative to put a check on a rogue judiciary, whether it's in any individual court or the branch in its entirety. How? By simply not complying with one of its rulings. Now, he's not a king, so he has a check on him as well. You know, but if Congress finds that he's in the right, they can choose not to bother with him, and he wins that argument. But even if the House gets involved and impeaches him, and then they refer it over to the Senate for an expulsion trial, when, I'm not going to say if, I'm going to actually say when the Senate is proven unable to muster the two-thirds votes necessary to stop him, well, then by default, Trump will have won that separation of powers argument with any individual court, as well as the aggregate judiciary, if such a battle should ever ensue. It is a legitimate constitutional check, although, again, one that's only been used on a few occasions. Where am I mistaken?
No, I think you're right. And I think, you know, just watching President Trump in the first term, as well as more importantly in the beginning of the second term, he's not afraid to try those things. So I totally agree. The one thing I'll go back to, though, and I thought you made a great point in the beginning, is there are a lot of benefits to lower income folks in this tax bill. You know, the bonus deduction for older adults, right? $8,000 for people over 65. There's just a number of good pieces of legislation. It's a feel-good bill. There's no question about it. Now, the danger, as you probably know and your listeners know, is that if the tariffs don't offset a lot of the debt that these tax cuts bring on, we could have some additional problems with the bond market. But in the interim, I think from a tax planning perspective, this is probably one of the best tax bills out there.
Well, one of the helpful things about the tariffs is thus far it's brought in about $100 billion to the Treasury, which is a bit of a windfall. But number two, it was always meant to be used only as leverage to get other countries to discontinue the very increasing of tariffs that we just want everybody to stop. Trump isn't doing this because he wants to make money per se, although whatever funds come in during the interim, he's happy to take. He's using it as leverage to convince other countries to drop their own tariffs. He's not unilaterally raising anything on anybody. He's saying, hey, in response to what you've already done to us, here is our play. And I think Americans on balance understand that by diminishing these tariffs against us, overall, will prove to be an economic help to the country.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.